I do not know how many times I have read 1 Kings chapter 17. I do not know how often I have thrilled at the blessed truths contained therein. I love Elijah. There's something about Elijah that stirs me. I like a man. Elijah was a man. I like a he-man. Elijah was a he-man. I like a fella who's willing to fight. Elijah was a he-man who was willing to fight. And I've always gotten truths about this story. When Elijah came to the brook Cherith, in the some Bibles, it's the E is given as long, Cherith, but I think Cherith is perhaps is a better and easier rendition. He came to the brook Cherith, and the Lord sent ravens at noontime, or morning and evening. By the way, I'll just give you a parenthesis. Did you know this three meals a day situation is not in the Scripture? People to get good three square meals a day. Did you know that until recently, did you know that people didn't eat three meals a day? I thought I'd just give you that for the sake of you big fat slobs who are here. Others who might be here who need the message. Look at it. It's jelly, isn't it? It just shakes. But anyway, the Lord sent twice to Elijah some ravens. And these ravens had meat and bread. Sandwiches, if you please, brought the meat and the bread to Elijah. The Lord said to Elijah, hide thyself. Now, later on, Elijah is going to show himself. The Lord's going to say, show thyself. And there's a wonderful truth. You don't show yourself till you've hidden yourself. If you're not willing to hide yourself, God won't let you show yourself. Moses showed himself only after he had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. The Apostle Paul showed himself only after he had hidden himself in the deserts of Arabia. I mentioned last Sunday night, give yourself away, lose yourself. And I've often noticed the words, hide thyself. And that's a blessed truth. Hide yourself and exalt Jesus. Hide yourself and help others. Forget about your own needs and work for the needs of others. I've often thought about the truth, how God provides for His own. Here's Elijah. He didn't have a restaurant where he could go. McDonald's did not have a stand in that particular part of the country at the time. They had one in Hammond, and they'd only sold about a billion at the time. But there was no restaurant. There was no Howard Johnson, no McDonald's or Burger Chef or Burger King. So what happened? The dear Lord sent ravens, and the ravens brought meat from heaven and bread from heaven and fed Elijah. And that's a wonderful truth, and I thought about it. And yet, until this week, I never noticed in my life the sweetest thing about the story. The sweetest thing about the story is not that God sent food to Elijah. And the sweetest thing about the story is not that God said to Elijah, hide thyself and show thyself. The sweetest thing about the story is the kind of bird God used. I never noticed it in my life. How could I be so dumb? Don't answer that. But how could I be so dumb? Never noticed it in my life. It was ravens. Ravens. Now, in Leviticus 11:14, it says, every raven is unclean. And in Deuteronomy 14:14, it says, every raven is unclean. And God is teaching us a lesson here. Not only are we to hide ourselves, and not only will God provide for us, but God did not choose a dove. He could have chosen a dove. The Bible could have said, God sent doves in the morning and evening and fed Elijah with bread and meat. Or He could have sent a peacock. Or He could have sent a pigeon. Or He could have sent a robin redbreast. These are good birds. But an old raven. The ravens in the Bible days, this is talking about a black. You don't see it much up here. Maybe it's because I don't do like I used to. But as a kid in Texas, I used to walk down old country roads a great deal out in the country. And I'd see some birds flying around. And I'd begin to smell a little bit. And I'd come to a place where the birds had settled. And there'd be some buzzards. And an old dead carcass right in the middle of the road. Somebody'd run over. One buzzard would have a pulling it out, you know, intro, pulling it out. And and one buzzard be picking the skin off, and one buzzard be have his mouth down and beak down inside the innards of the body. And man, I thought, good night, with all the things to eat, what do you want to eat that for? Just never, even with ketchup, that doesn't look good. And that's the nearest thing to brains and eggs I ever saw in my life. You ever eat brains and eggs? And you haven't been eating here, Brother Fist. But anyway, and what do you want to eat that for? I mean, good night, there's wheat in the field, and there's oats in the field. And think of all the vegetables, and think of all the gardens they could eat. But these ravenous birds, ravens, if you please, vultures, flesh-eating. I could use the big word. I'll not impress you with it. But flesh-eating animals. God said, I'm going to feed Elijah. And I'm sure the dove said, let us go take him the food. No, not you doves. And a peacock opened its wings and said, let me deliver the food. What an appetite I can stir in the prophet. No, don't want you peacocks either. But a robin redbreast flew and said, everybody loves to look at me. Let me go feed Elijah let us feed Elijah with the bread and the meat. The robin redbreast, no, God said, I want you ravens. I want you ravens that pick the carcass of animals off the highway. I want you ravens that pick the carcass of animals out of the field. I want you dirty birds not fit for sacrifice. Not a pigeon, not a turtle dove, but a raven, just a filthy old raven. I want you to go. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. If I'd been Elijah, I'd lost my appetite. Can you imagine what probably was beneath the teeth of this raven as he brought the hamburger to Elijah? Huh? Can you imagine what he'd just gotten through eating? Hey, you ravens down there picking the carcass of that dead ox. Come up here. I want you to take a sandwich to Elijah. And with the inside of the stinking animal hanging out his mouth, the raven goes up to heaven and God puts heavenly food in the raven's dirty mouth. And they begin to fly down to Elijah. And they feed the prophet. Never noticed that in my life before. Never noticed that in my life. I'd have gone on a fast myself. I'd have felt led to fast and pray. I'd prayed fast. That's what I'd done. But there it is. And again, the Bible says every raven is unclean. A black, filthy animal. Don't you recall when Noah, when the flood abated, and Noah wanted to find out the conditions? First he sent out a what? A raven. Then later he sent out a what? A dove. The raven never returned. The dove came back to the safety of the ark, but the raven never did. Why? The raven, think of all the good square meals the raven found floating on top of the water. I mean, think of all the dead bodies the raven found, and think of the appetite. Now his salivary glands began to work when he said, boy, look at that old dead carcass, been dead 30 days. Woo! Mm. And the raven said, I'd like to have that. The raven never came back. Now there are three simple, blessed truths here. The first two I'll pass by swiftly, and the last I'll dwell on. The first one is God feeds the ravens. He feeds the ravens. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 24, it says, consider the ravens. How that God says they don't have barns, they don't store up their food for tomorrow, and God feeds the ravens. I recall when I was a student in East Texas Baptist College years ago, I came across Job 38:41. He provideth for the raven his food. And Psalm 147, verse 9, he giveth food to the young raven. And as a kid preacher in college, and the first time I ever preached a sermon, I had a patch in the seat of my britches on the suit I had on and a hole in my shoe. And quite frank with you, the way I preached, I had a hole in my head, too. But I didn't have much to wear, just a poor preacher boy. And I can recall looking, and it hit me so beautifully. It didn't say the Lord provideth food. It didn't say consider the doves, how that God provides for the doves. Well, if anybody provide for a dove, anybody love to put out some seed on the ground for the robin redbreast. Anybody like to put out some seed for the nice clean animal, for the clean birds? But this old animal that feeds on the bodies of people, the dead bodies and dead carcasses of animals, and eats so dead stinking flesh. God said he provides for the dirty animal, dirty bird. And it dawned on me, if God in heaven provides for the raven, certainly he'd provide for his own child. It looks like to me if God would take care of the raven, if God sees the raven is cared for, God will see that his own preacher is cared for. That's a blessed, wonderful truth. Are you a child of God this morning? Don't you think God will feed you? Are you his child? Don't you think God will feed you? But you say, preacher, I don't have a job. Don't you think God can feed his own? A raven doesn't have a job either. Consider the ravens. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. A blessed, wonderful truth. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. The Bible says his righteous seed never go hungry or begging bread. God feeds the ravens and God will feed you. But I go on quickly to the next point and I'll pass it quickly also. God, this is interesting, God uses ravens. God uses ravens. He could have sent a robin redbreast or a peacock or a dove or a pigeon, but God uses ravens. Isn't that wonderful? You know why? Most of us are ravens. I look over this building this morning, Brother Wardway, I don't see many peacocks here. I see some who think you're pretty, but you're not. I see some of you girls that look at yourself so much when you walk down the street, you bump into street lamps and telephone poles trying to do this. Why you do it? Only God knows why you do it. Must help a little bit. And God knows you need all the help you can get in many cases. But most of us are ravens. I'm a raven. God uses ravens. I hear Dr. R.G. Lee preach, and I say, well, I'd like to preach like that, but I'm not that. I'm just a raven. I'm just a hellfire and brimstone preacher. But thank God he uses ravens. I was thinking back last night when I was a young man in Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. So many young preacher boys in our church. And so many of them were expected to go all the way to the top. And nobody expected me to go to the top. And I'm not sure I'm to the top, but nobody expected me to ever do anything. I was thinking over the list. There was Joe Boyd. All-American football player. He was a peacock. Oh, boy. 6 foot 3 inches tall, 235 pounds. Had a built like this. And I was built like this, like a milk bottle. And I used to look at Joe Boyd, and I'd say, what a man. And, boy, the people thought Joe. And Joe has become a good, successful preacher. But nobody ever thought the little Raven Hiles would mount anything. I was thinking last night there was Dan Davis. Dan was third baseman on the baseball team and a wonderful third baseman and a wonderful young man. He was a clean-cut young man. Everybody had high dreams for Dan Davis, a great guy. And Dan is a fine pastor today, a successful pastor. But he was a dove or a robin redbreast, but nobody thought little Raven Hiles would ever do anything much. I thought last night about Alvin Stone. Alvin Stone was a wonderful young man, talented, gifted. They had him back to preach in our church when I was a young man. I thought, boy, I'd love to preach like Alvin Stone can preach. And everybody expected Alvin Stone to do something. He was a robin redbreast. Nobody expected Raven Hiles to do anything. I thought last night about Red Shaw. Red Shaw was a manager of a Safeway store. And Red got saved. I'll tell you, when he got saved, he was like the dog named Rover. When he died all over. Red Shaw got saved. He got saved all over. I want you to know he witnessed to everybody he could. You never saw anybody like Red Shaw in your life. He was a prize fighter. And I used to watch him fight in the Golden Gloves. And boy, big old his nose was spread and spread and spread, looking all across his face. And old Red Shaw, what a man, what a preacher, what a Christian. And Red Shaw came down and got saved, and the whole town, the whole neighborhood was rejoiced. And Red Shaw gave his life to preach the gospel. And everybody said, boy, that's wonderful. Won't Red be an amazing preacher? And he is a fine preacher. He still pastors the church to this day. But nobody thought little Raven Hiles would ever do anything. I thought last night about Mel Rudder, one of the most brilliant men I ever met. Mel Rudder, when he was in college, he took 40 courses, made A's in 39 and a B in 1, and he couldn't sleep for days because he made a B. He was voted the preacher most likely to succeed in our college. He was also from our church. And everybody thought, Mel Rudder, what a fine man. Oh, how he loved the Lord. How I loved to hear that man pray. How he could say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And how he could say it. And everybody knew that Mel Rudder would someday be a fine preacher. And he is a fine preacher to this day. But nobody thought little Raven Hiles would ever do anything. I thought last night about Jack Atkinson, a fine young man, married one of the fine young ladies in our church. I thought about Jack Atkinson, and God called Jack to preach, and everybody knew Jack could make it. He had a dynamic personality and a strong body and was an athletic type, and everybody thought Jack Atkinson would make it, but nobody thought little Raven Hiles would do anything. I thought about Bob Keyes. You know Bob Keyes. Bob has been is a fine preacher. All these fellows preachers this day. And Bob's a fine preacher. He's preached behind this pulpit. And everybody, Bob Keyes grew up. He was a feisty little fellow. Went with all the girls. I never would go with a girl. I wouldn't ask any girl for a date. I'd try to get enough courage to ask a girl for a date. And I'd say, hey, would you like to, she'd say, like to what? And I'd say, move over, I want to walk by, please. I couldn't get enough courage to ask a girl for a date. I recall the first date I had to have one because it was a special meeting. And my girlfriend sent word and by her friends and said, ask Jack if he's going to get me a corsage. I didn't know what a corsage was. Never heard the word corsage in my life. And I was up in my teen years. I didn't know what a corsage was. And I didn't want to act dumb. So I said, just tell her she can order anything on the menu. I don't care what she eats. I thought a corsage bound to be something to eat. And I didn't buy her corsage. And the first date I ever had, they wore long dresses. Now, in those days, they didn't wear long dresses all the time. Long dresses were formals. You wore them to formal affairs. And after the formal banquet was over, I didn't know where to go. And so I went and took the... Dickie Green and I took our girlfriends to play miniature golf. And there they were in their formals and corsages, holding their dress up. I mean, folks, I'm just a raven, that's all. I'm sorry. I mean, I wasn't any peacock. I didn't have any pretty feathers. And I wasn't any dove. Nobody suspected me of ever being anything. And I wasn't any robin redbreast. I was just a raven. But aren't you glad God can use ravens? God uses ravens like little poor Gideon. God uses ravens like the wicked Billy Sunday. God uses ravens like you and me. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've been, God can use you. Yes, He can. You say, Brother Hiles, I've been such a sinner. God can use you if you'll get right. Give all you have to God. He can use you. Oh, but you don't know my past. I know, but God can use you. God said, I think when the Lord said, I want to feed Elijah, I think He said, I want to choose the ravens. Why? I want my people to know. Doesn't matter how untalented I can use them. Doesn't matter how ugly I can use them. If you don't believe God can use ugly people, look here. Look here. Do you ever see a motley-looking crowd in your life? And yet God uses them. Every time I look at Brother Helton, I just am amazed that God can save a wretch like him. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm not very pretty. Yeah, I know God uses ugly people. He uses ravens. But you say, I don't have any money. I know, but God uses ravens. But you say, I'm not very smart. Yeah, I know, but God uses ravens. But you say, preacher, I didn't make good grades in school. I know, but God uses ravens. But you say, I can't even make a speech. I know, but God uses ravens. God uses ravens, and God will use you. But now I want to come down to the thrust of the message this morning. Not only does God feed the raven, and God uses the raven, but here's what I want. God helps us with ravens. God helps us with ravens. Did you know sometimes the sweetest morsel comes in the most wicked bill? Do you know sometimes the messenger might not be much, but God will use the message? I'm talking to somebody this morning who's had some tough events lately. Somebody's cussed you out. You ought to read my mail. I was looking through, Mrs. McKinney, I was looking through the files in your office. My files are in her office. And she keeps my letters, of course, my secretary. And I had to go in there a Friday night. I was trying to check somebody, and I came across the crank file. We have a crank file. That's where I put your letter. And anybody writes me. And I came across some of the funniest things. One fellow wrote me and he said, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of Balaam's donkey. And I wrote back. I read my letter. I wrote back and I said, I'm Balaam's donkey. But in this case, the donkey had more sense than the fellow who was riding him. And in my own timid way, I got back at him. But I began to read those letters. But did you know, I got thinking, I wonder how many of those letters have made a better man out of me. I wonder how many times a raven, or in our language, some old buzzard, has written me a dirty, nasty letter and told me off. And my first thought was, I'll get him! And then maybe I read it again. And maybe I thought, you know, he may be right. I'm not what I ought to be. Maybe I better check that a little bit. I wonder how many times God has used ravens, the dirty bird, the unclean bird, to bring a message. When I was reading the Bible, I read about Shimei. Don't you recall when David was leaving Jerusalem and his son Absalom was king on the throne or was trying to become the king and his forces were fighting against David's forces? David, rather than fight against his own son, fled. And as he was fleeing, a little fellow came up named Shimei, and he took dust, and he threw dust in David's face, and he got a rock, and he threw a rock in David's face, and called him, "Ah, you dead dog! Ah, you dead dog! Ah, you filthy David! You're the one that caused Abner to be killed." And David's servant, Abishai, reached for the sword, and he pulled his sword and yanked it out and said, "Your Honor, let me chop his head off, that dirty dog! Let me chop his head off!" And David said, "No, leave him alone. Leave him alone." He said that he may be a messenger sent to buffet me. Yeah, he was a buzzard. Yeah, he was a raven. But God so often uses ravens. Did you know God uses sometimes the most awful experience to make you have the blessed things of life? As I look back over my life, and by the way, I still have some to look forward to, I think. But as I look back over my life, I look back over the times when the ravens came, the buzzards came. I was thinking last night about that experience down in East Texas. A deacon, 72 years of age. That rascal, he was 72 then, and that's been 25 years ago, and he's still alive. I prayed for God to kill him 25 years ago. That shows how much power I have in prayer. But oh, that deacon, oh, he was a rascal. His own married son tried to kill his wife. And one night late, they called me and said, "Come quickly." His wife called me and said, "Come quickly." And I went down to the house, and the fellow had a gun pointing it to his wife's head and pulled the trigger, but there were no bullets, or blank. And he'd gone to get some ammunition to kill her. And I went down and stood in front of her, and I said, "You'd have to kill me if you kill your wife." And the fellow the next night got saved. And this is the deacon's son. And the deacon came, professed his faith in church the next night, and his father wouldn't even come by and shake his hands. That's how mean. That's the chairman of the deacons. That's how mean he was. I can recall while I'd preach, I went to that church, while I'd preach, he'd sit there out on the front and make faces at me. Like that. Go. Like that. A raven? Yeah. A buzzard? Yeah. Yeah. I thought that it had all the bitterness in my heart, out of my heart toward him. But I was preaching in East Texas not long ago and drove by the store he runs and dreamed that night that I knocked the fire out of him. And so I guess there's something way down in there that's still there, you know. But that deacon. A raven? Yes. A buzzard? Yes. And yet, did you know, God used that raven to drive me to my knees, Brother Fisk. And I'd go before I'd preach, and I'd say, "Oh, God, I can't face that man again. I can't face him again. And, oh, God, I pray you'd help me to know what to do." And I'd spend hours and hours on my knees begging God to bless me. What happened? God brought me a sandwich in a raven's mouth. And God does it so often. That's the way the Lord is. Remember Job's friends? Remember how that when Job was at the bottom, his friends came and said, "Yeah, you done something wrong, haven't you?" But the Bible says that God caused Job to search his heart before God. And actually his friends were simply bringing him good morsels, though they were not his friends. And though they were ravens and they were buzzards, unfaithful friends and faithless friends. Nevertheless, they brought Job in their mouths. They brought him that which he needed. Again and again, it happens in the Bible. Ravens kill Stephen and stone him to death. But the ravens, as they stoned Stephen to death, the wicked men, Stephen looked up and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Ravens, wicked men, ravens stoned Paul outside the city of Lystra. But while Paul was being stoned outside the city of Lystra, he looked up and saw the third heaven and heard things not lawful to utter. John on the Isle of Patmos, ravens exiled John to the Isle of Patmos. But while John was on the Isle of Patmos, the ravens put him there, but he saw the rapture, and he saw the marriage of the Lamb, and he saw the judgment seat, and he saw the marvelous provisions of the millennium, and he saw the New Jerusalem, and he saw all the glories of prophecy. Why? Because God brought it in the mouths of ravens. Are you this morning shrinking, trying to get back at somebody? Are you trying to fight back at somebody? Are you saying, I'll get him, he criticized me? No, don't do that. Did you know even the ravens God uses sometimes? I have a lot of enemies. Maybe you know that. Maybe you're one of them. I have a lot of enemies. A lot of folks don't like me. A lot of folks curse me. A lot of folks slander me. But I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to fight back. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because God uses ravens sometimes with which to bring meat and bread. And God feeds me oftentimes with the ravens. And even the enemies sometimes tell me the truth. How many times has somebody told you off? And the impression was, I'll get back. No, don't you get back. Don't you get back. That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. You just keep on loving and keep on loving. I hesitate to say this, but I will. And I really shouldn't. But I will. 14 years ago this summer, this church had a split. I was new here, and I was different. And my accent was even worse then than it is now. And and a lot of the folks justifiably didn't like me. They couldn't understand what I was saying. I'd say, I'm fixing to preach a sermon. Don't y'all go by and carry somebody to church with you next Sunday. Poor ignorant Yankees didn't know what I was talking about. One fellow said, I'll meet you in the loggia after church. I went all over the place hunting for the loggia. I didn't know what a loggia was. I went to the kitchen. I hunted for the loggia. I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what the loggia was. And some good people, some fine people left the church, and they didn't like me a great deal. But you know this is true. Not an unkind word has ever come across this pulpit or from these lips about those people. I've prayed every day nearly for 14 years for those people. I mean that, and God will tell you if you'll ask Him, it's true. Nearly 14 years. I don't mean I prayed for God to kill them. I prayed for God to bless them. They don't know it, but when they dedicated their new building, I sent $15 bouquet of flowers. And I prayed for God to bless them. And did you know, after 14 years, about 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from the pastor of that church. And he said, I just want to congratulate you for buying the new college. And he said, I just want you to know that we here at our church love you folks. And after he hung up, I cried and said, thank God. Thank God. None of God's people ought to hate each other. None of God's people ought to criticize each other. None of God's people ought to fight back at each other. There ought to be a peace. I don't mean to not fight the devil. I think we ought to fight the devil. I think we ought to hate sin. I think we ought to stand. But God's people ought to stand together against the devil. And together against sin. And together against wrong. I'm saying it's never right to fight back and retaliate. Oh, get even with him. Yeah, and you're having ulcers develop while you do it. You only hurt yourself. You only hurt yourself. I've been reading that book lately, None of These Diseases. Everybody ought to read it. None of These Diseases. It shows how that malice hurts you physically and how that jealousy tears you up on the inside and how that an evil, wicked spirit causes you and how that melancholy makes you sick. And how that disease is caused because we have wrong spirits and things eat on us with revenge and vindication and hatred and vengeance. No, that's not the way a Christian ought to behave. Even if the person who brought you the news was a wicked person, God meant it for good many times. I can recall years ago a certain Baptist group gave me the choice to support their liberal schools or they'd vote me out. And I wouldn't support their liberal schools. I wouldn't give one quarter. See that quarter? I wouldn't give that quarter right there to a school that denies this book if they gave me a doctor's degree for it. I wouldn't give that quarter right there. Not that quarter to anybody who stand behind the desk or sit behind the desk and shake the faith of preachers in this book. Not a quarter, not a dime would I give.
What'd I do that quarter? Huh? Thank you. No, I wouldn't. I don't. And you say, Brother Hiles, I'm in a certain liberal denomination. We're trying to save it. You won't save it financing it. And so they said, okay, either you'll support the schools, the program. That meant part of my money to go to schools that allowed dancing in the schools. Part of my money to go to schools that allowed drinking in the schools. Part of my money to go to schools that had professors that did not even believe this book is the Word of God, verbally inspired. I said, no, I won't do it. And those men met, and they decided to vote me out because I ran with such people as Lester Roloff and John Rice and Lee Robertson and so forth. And they were wicked men. I mean that. They were wicked men. But on the 10th anniversary from that date, I wrote a letter to the man that was in charge of it and thanked him. I didn't tell him that God used a buzzard to do me good. But God does use bad to bring good. Yeah, that neighbor next door to you. Oh, she, you can't stand her. Her dog digs in your flower bed and comes over and gets in your house and dug up your carpet and fertilized your yard. And but anyway, let's get back to the message here. And you say, she's after me. She criticizes my kids and make. I know, but did you know what? God may let that neighbor live next door to you so you can pray more and go to God more. I thank God. So my father passed away in 1950, died with a heart attack in 1950. And to me, that was a raven's message. And I couldn't see any good. Looked like to me there was nothing but old innards in the teeth of the raven who came and brought the message. But looking back on it, it was the thing that catapulted my ministry. It's the thing that has done me more good than anything. I mean, I cry more about it. And last night before I went to bed, I do what I always do. I take out his picture, and I get on my knees, and I look at Dad's picture. And I say, Dear Lord, help me to preach tomorrow with the same fervor and the same sincerity and earnestness I'd use if my dad were sitting on the front row. And it was one of the great heartbreaks of my life. But looking back on it, it was the thing that I went to his grave and fell on his grave, and God filled me with the Holy Spirit on the grave of Dad. I'm simply saying, don't shirk from the burdens. The doctor comes and says you have an incurable disease. It may be that that's bread in a raven's mouth. It may be. I look back over the trouble here and these years of preaching the gospel here in this pulpit. How blessed, how blessed, how blessed. Oh, the thousands of people who have been saved and the preacher boys around the world going out from this place and the church's influence from all over. I wish you could read the letters. I wish you could read the letters that I've gotten from pastor school preachers. One fellow wrote in and said, had 150 in Sunday school the Sunday I left. Had 450 in Sunday school last Sunday. Been less than a month and a half since pastor school. Letters like that all across the country. Churches transformed. I got a letter from a deacon and said thank you from a new preacher. He said, we sent the old one and got a new one. Same fellow, but he's a new preacher. One fellow went back home and announced that he was resigning on Sunday morning to have a new pastor that night. He came back that night and preached the sermon I preached on Behold the Dreamer Cometh. And he said, I'm the new pastor. The old one's dead now. I'm the new pastor. You know, the night the deacons met to draw the budget up and cut it in half, didn't seem like we might have that. It seemed like the ravens had come. But the ravens brought us what we needed to drive us to our faces before God and say, Oh my God, I need you. I need you. I need you. The folks in the balcony who came because of curiosity, and I'm glad they're here. But you know why a lot of people come, not necessarily them, but you know they've heard about Hiles. And they've heard about our church, many folks. And they know we're narrow-minded. We believe in boys getting haircuts and girls wearing skirts that are decent, of decent length.
We believe the dirty playboy philosophy is wicked, and I'm going to fight as long as I stand here. A high school gymnasium allowing playboy bunnies to come in and flaunt their bodies before the lustful eyes and minds of wicked men. And we're going to fight that kind of stuff. And word gets around. And people sometimes won't speak to me on the street. And sometimes they'll spit at me when I walk down the street. And God knows I love everybody. That's the truth. Honestly, God knows it, whether you know it or not. I love everybody. There's not a person in the world I wouldn't help if you're in trouble. I don't think there's a person I wouldn't take my billfold and empty it for if he is in trouble. But folks wonder. And folks criticize, and sometimes they don't mean it. But the thing I'm supposed to do when the events of life come and the ravens come, there may be some innards sticking out of their mouth, or maybe some dirty flesh between their teeth, but it may be that they have for me bread and meat. Let me say this morning in closing, you beloved friends who wonder how God can meet your needs, you dear college students, you say with the house, how can I pay my bill? How can I do it? God feed the ravens. I bet he'd feed you. God takes care of the ravens. I imagine God will take care of you. And then to you this morning, who wonder, how can God use me? How can God? A little fellow about that high came to see me the other day, and he said, Brother Howells, I can't even see over the pulpit, much less preach. And I'm not supposed to be a preacher. What can I do? I said, just saw the pulpit in two and preach the devil out of the devil. And God can use you. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, God used a donkey once, he can do it again. And God can, and he will. And then to those of you this morning who had bitter experiences, oh, your husband maybe has gone into liquor, or maybe you've got a son that's turned to dope, or maybe this morning your own body is reeking with cancer, or maybe this morning you've lost your job and it wasn't fair. You shouldn't have lost your job. We have some men in our church that work, and their boss said, go buy me some cigarettes. And our men wouldn't do it. They said, we'll work, but we won't buy you any cigarettes. Well, I order you. Go buy me some cigarettes. And our men said, I'm sorry. We're sorry. We'll do anything you say, but we won't put cancer to your lips. And so as far as I know, they're losing their jobs because they won't buy cigarettes for the boss. And I think they did exactly what was right. And I'm for them 100%. I think the rest of you ought to take the same stand. But maybe you lost your job. Or maybe the baby isn't well. Or maybe your wife waited for 9 long months. Maybe you waited for 9 long months. And when you walked, you couldn't walk. You waddled when you walked. And you wore these big dresses. Dr. Rice calls them hatching jackets. And you wore the hatching jacket. When you slept at night, you had to sleep on your back. And you looked like the pyramids of Egypt when you slept on your back. And you wanted watermelon at 2 o'clock in the morning and dill pickle at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you wanted an ice cream sundae with a pickle on top of it. And you couldn't know how to get along with you. And your face got all mottled and you just looked out of sorts. And then soon the message came and the pains began to get closer and closer and closer. And soon they're 5 minutes apart. And you said to your husband, wake up! You know why I wake up? Because babies all come at 1 o'clock in the morning. Everybody knows that. Wake up! And the husband gets up, and he packed the suitcase already packed, and he gets in the car. He goes down the road 75 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone, and he sees that light behind him flashing. And the police, where are you going, to a fire? You said, no, it's my baby here. She's going to have a hospital. No, 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 no. It's my hospital here. She's going to have a wife. Oh! And the policeman's a good man. He said, I understand. Follow me. And you went down to the hospital, and you labored, and in the agony and the throes of death, you went. And then you put something on your face, and you were unconscious for a while. And then the next thing you knew, you woke up in your room, and you reached over to feel the baby. But the baby wasn't there. And your husband had tears in his eyes, and the doctor came in and said, you see, the cord was wrapped around his little neck, and... well, it wouldn't probably have been normal anyway. And then it feels like your world is sinking beneath you when you stop and realize the baby's gone. And all the 9 months for nothing. And your arms that were supposed to be full are empty. Oh, listen to me. He maketh no mistake.
He sends food by the raven's mouth. And though the bitter times come, and the sad times come, the lonely times come, and the hard times come, everything works together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Oh, He sendeth food by the mouth of ravens. Don't shrink back. Just stop and realize it all works together for good. It all works together for good. Oh, I can recall wondering why. I've had people ask me why. A 13-year-old boy pointed to the corpse of his dad and said, "Brother Hiles, my daddy just died of a heart attack, 39 years old. Why?" I don't know why, but I know He maketh no mistakes. The lady looked at me and said, "My husband has a month to live. He has cancer of the liver." Why? I don't know why, but I know He maketh no mistakes. Oh, listen to me today. For 47 and a half years I've been living, and for almost 30 of those years I've been a licensed gospel preacher, and for almost 25 of those years I've been a Baptist preacher pastoring in Baptist churches. I've stood beside those who were dying. I've stood beside those whose loved ones were dying. I've stood beside little ladies who had babies that were a little corpse of a baby beneath them. I've seen it, but I still say, our Father, He knoweth all. He maketh no mistake. And if the raven is come, and if it's a little bitter pill to swallow, just remember, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so trust Him. Just trust Him. And Elijah looked up. And I think maybe Elijah, if I was been Elijah, here's what I'd have said. "Lord, feed me. Lord, feed me." I looked around to see if some deacon is coming up with some turnip greens or squash and okra. Or you Yankees, pizza and so forth. No deacon. "Lord, feed me." All of a sudden I saw some birds coming in the sky. Hey, ravens. Wonder what's dead. Not me. Wonder what's dead. Hey, they got something in their mouth. Mouth. The ravens come down. "You fellows come from the Lord?" And the Lord spoke to Elijah and said, "This is for you." And I'm sure Elijah said, "Fellows, you just not quite the servants I had in mind. But I thank God He provided for me." I think the Lord was simply saying this. I think the Lord was saying, "Elijah, you're the one who runs from Jezebel's. You're the one who runs and hides and thinks you're the only one left. You're not all you ought to be. But Elijah, if I can use these ravens to bring you food, I can use you to bring blessing and help to others." And He can. And He will. Thank God. For 25 blessed years, He's used a raven. And the pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world is a raven. And the author of 21 books, over 4 million copies been sold, is a raven. And the fellow who preaches on the Let's Go Soul Winning broadcast, conducts it on 70 stations, is a raven. And the fellow who leaves here every Monday and has gone to Wednesday and preaches across this country to 32,000 preachers last year is a raven. Thank God. I'm so glad God just doesn't use Brother Fist Robin Redbreast. I'm so glad God doesn't say, "Come on, all you peacocks, I want to use you." I'm so glad God doesn't say, "Come on, all you doves and pigeons, I want to use you." But God looks down to little Texas alcoholic's home and reaches out and touches a little poor little boy that's an introvert and starving half to death. And God says, "Hey, you little raven down there, I can use you too. If you'll let me have you." And He can use you the same way.